think so. Most of you, I don't know, maybe not most. I think most of you guys have probably met Roxanne. Yeah, hopefully you guys all have questions. But yeah, I think, are we going to start with the video? And yeah, so we can fire that up. And this is a bit of a testimony that Roxanne sent.
Hey guys, my name is Elodie Leaflo, and I realized my dreams when I made it to the 2012 London Olympics. I represented a little island called Mauritius that's located in the Indian Ocean, and this has been a lifelong dream of mine ever since I was a little kid watching the 96 Atlanta Olympics. I moved to Canada and played for the University of Toronto, and then my coach put a seed in my mind that I could probably represent Mauritius at the Olympics. I don't know what it is about the Olympics that really fascinated me. I just thought, wouldn't it be really cool if I can go to this Olympic game in the future and play. It just felt like a really big playground to me where everybody in the world would come together and play their favorite sport. And yet, when I got to the Olympics, that's what I really wrestled with, and I couldn't really pinpoint the feeling or the emotion that I felt, but I felt in many ways disappointed that it was not what I expected, not what I had been growing up to think, and even the messages around the Olympics and what I see or saw on TV, it just was not the reality when I got there. And I really struggled with even calling myself an Olympian, to be honest. And what I struggled with was actually the shame and the guilt from my time at the Olympics, because I didn't meet a certain standard or expectation that A, the world had, but also that I had put on myself. Probably because of what I come to learn from the sport culture, that if you don't win a medal, if you don't even win a game, and I did not even win a game at the Olympics, then I just felt lesser than. And so God really honed in on that part of my identity, that again, what does it look like to be a child of God rather than being identified as an Olympian, even though the world saw me as that. I didn't have a space to just pause and be still and listen. And I just wish I had done that, because I have learned over time that ultimately I want to listen and hear the voice of God. Knowing what I do now and looking back, the Olympics can't provide those things. Because it just falls short every single time. Even though I grew up thinking that it could. And so God, on the other hand, has reminded me of the hope that I have of being in heaven one day and having this heaven on earth idea of all of us being united in Christ.
All right. Well, may as well. Yeah. Does anybody have any just initial questions for Roxanne? I'll just start that way. I'll leave awkward silence until someone asks something.
So that person up there is actually now on my staff team. So Elodie and I work very closely together. So that was 2012. In 2013, Elodie came with us to Russia. I don't know if you remember, some of you might have remembered that we did an international project to Russia to serve at the World University Games. And so we took a team of some students, some volunteers. Like Elodie was a teacher at the time. After the Olympics, she had retired. She was a teacher, but still kind of engaged with Athletes in Action. And just really seeking out what was next in her life and what God wanted for her next. And so in that time in Russia, serving as a chaplain at the World University Games and connecting with university athletes there, Elodie felt a call in her life to commit like the next, I don't know how many years of her life, into vocational ministry, connecting with athletes. And it's been through this time, and actually just in the last couple of years, that Elodie's been able to share her story. It's a pretty big deal, because when she talked about that shame and guilt, she did not tell people that she played in the Olympics. And still to this day, it's one of those things that you don't tell people is a bragging thing, but she's so much freer sharing her story now because of how the deep work that God's done in her life. And it's been so cool for me to see her journey with other Olympians now, and for her to journey with them through the ups and downs. The journey of an Olympian is actually quite intense. Every 4 years, you train for 4 years to hope to make it to the Olympics. And if the last month or last few weeks, and you're at the Olympics, but all of a sudden you get an injury, and now you can't go anymore, that's a pretty devastating effect. Or we have another one of our staff who's in Winnipeg, and she was a wrestler for Team Canada and also came in as a favorite and didn't win a match at the Olympics. And so they really have to deal with these deep heart level things. Like, what does this mean? Who am I now? What does it mean with the Olympics? And just the intensity of the time there. So Elodie and I work closely together, and it's just been so cool for me to see the healing in her life over the past 10 years. I guess it's 10 years ago now that she was at the Olympics.
And so you guys are going to that island, right? This year?
She,
I assume she's going, and she's part of that.
So I don't know if you noticed where Mauritius is. So on the there was a quick little graphic on there, but where the island of Mauritius is, where Elodie's was born, and she still has citizenship there. So Mauritius is an island just off the coast of Madagascar. So it's about a three-hour flight, airplane ride off the coast of Madagascar. So straight south of Dubai is basically in the ocean there. There's a bunch of islands. And Mauritius is an African nation there. And so a few years ago, there was some Campus Crusade for Christ staff in Mauritius, and they approached Athletes in Action globally and said, we would love to start Athletes in Action in our country. The countries around Mauritius, they call them the Lost Islands. So lost meaning lost spiritually. They would say what we would call them creative access countries, in terms of they're closed to Christianity, they're closed to anything that has to do with the gospel. But what Mauritius, God's laid on some of the people in Mauritius, is to reach those islands with the gospel. And one of the ways they can do that are through international games and sporting events. And so in Madagascar, in this summer, this is a longer story, but Madagascar this summer is hosting what's called the Indian Ocean Island Games. So that whole area, the Indian Ocean, all the islands are going to come together and have an international competition. Well, Elodie competed there on her way to the Olympics and won gold there. And so her platform is very significant in that area of the world. And so when Mauritius approached AI Global and said, hey, we would love to start a partnership because we believe that we can reach our islands through sport, AI Canada got a hold of that, and we're like, we have one of our staff who's from Mauritius. Like, this would be an amazing connection. And so God just brought this together. So we've started a partnership with them. We started just before COVID hit. And so the last few years, we haven't been able to send any international projects, but we've just been building a relationship and getting to know our staff in the area and praying together and saying, okay, Lord, when, how do you want this to work? We were looking at the Madagascar Games, but we weren't sure how this would all come together. Well, last May, we were able to send a volleyball team to Mauritius and do a bit of a project. And it was crazy. They saw 35 people give their hearts to the Lord. They were able to share with over 500 people about the gospel just to Mauritius. Like, the openness, Elodie says, she's like, I was so surprised at the openness spiritually in that country. So we're going to go now. I'm going in almost exactly a month. I think just over a month and 3 days. November 20th, we fly out. Elodie and I are going to go to Madagascar for a few days and try to set up chaplaincy for the Indian Ocean Island Games, just kind of use Elodie's platform there and try to pave the way for us to send some chaplains. And then we're also going to set up, they're wanting to do some church sport partnership things. So just helping churches use sport to connect to their communities. Like, you guys, I know that for some of you have been involved when we've had Athletes in Action camps here in White Court, you know, the Baptist Church, and there was a community of all the churches here kind of came together. That's what we're going to do there. And so we're in Madagascar for a few days and then in Mauritius, and we'll just be training local church leaders and volunteers to do sports ministry in their community. So I'm very excited to go with Elodie, excited to get to know her family that's there, but to set up the ministry to kind of continue this partnership is really exciting for us.
So, okay, I got a weird question about that. I don't know if this sounds right or not, but you go there and you play volleyball against like people and then witness to them. Is it like, do you beat them? Like, do you just like beat these teams and then say, hey, we want to share the love of Jesus? Like, I don't know. I just had this vision, like, just like dominating this team of volleyball players and then.
So athletes are really funny. They often don't listen until you can beat them or do beat them.
Okay, yeah.
So it's kind of the higher up you get with sport, if they were to beat us too badly, they wouldn't listen as closely, which is so funny in sport. You would think it's so countercultural in other areas of our culture. If you get beat, you usually don't want to listen to what the other person has to say. But there's, I think it's the mutual respect thing, I think. So we try to send as competitive a team as possible. Our team that went to Mauritius was decently competitive. They played some local club teams and did okay. The national team, I think they did lose too, but it was competitive enough that they were able to gain
okay, respect.
Okay. So we try not to like dominate so bad.
I pictured like this Olympian going and all these volleyball players and just, yeah.
Yeah, but we try to bring a team over that can compete against their highest level teams.
Okay.
So not all the games are at that level, but that's usually our goal.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, great question.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird, but I thought, yeah. I got to ask.
And some people come over with that mindset. Like some athletes are like, oh, we're representing Christ. Like we don't want to beat them too bad. And we're like, no, actually, you actually gain their respect and voice when you can compete at their level. You obviously just want to do it with sportsmanship and yeah. Not humiliate.
Yeah.
There's a level of competition that needs to happen. Yeah. Great
cool,
question.
Cool. Any other thoughts or questions with that or anything? Well, I want to, Roxanne, I just wanted to backtrack a little bit, and I mean, I'm trying to remember our former conversations and things, but I don't remember if I ever asked you this, but like, going back a ways, when did you first hear God's call, or kind of feel that pull towards full-time ministry, or in particular, missionary with Athletes in Action?
Yeah, great question. I think, before we moved here to White Court, my family, we were missionaries in the Philippines for 2 years. So we lived over in Manila, and my sister and I went to Faith Academy, which is a private Christian international school there. And we had a great experience. And coming home from that, that started to be my dream, was to teach overseas. Because I had a grade 5 teacher, her name was Miss Nisley. She was lovely. And I just was like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. So I'd always wanted to be a teacher. And so that idea of going over internationally and teaching, even though it looks very different now, that kind of was a seed that was planted when I was in grade 4 and grade 5, when we were overseas. I also just gained a love for other people and seeing that people could live differently. Like, normal is not what I grew up with is normal. Normal is very different in different places wherever you go. And so I think that's what started it. When I went to Trinity Western University in BC after I graduated, I went to be a teacher. That was my goal, was to be certified as a teacher. But when I went, I got involved with Athletes in Action because I decided, it's a little bit of a longer story, but I decided not to play basketball at the university level. So when I was in high school, I played basketball, loved the sport, and wanted to play at university. But when I got there, I think it was the 18-year-old fear factor, being so far away from home. I just told the coach after one practice, I was like, I can't, I'm done. But that decision haunted me, and it's actually what got me involved with Athletes in Action. And so a girl moved into my dorm in January of my first year, so halfway through my first year on campus. And she had been involved with Athletes in Action. And all I knew about Athletes in Action at that time was, I remember so clearly here in White Court, we were watching news one night, I think I was probably in grade 6 or grade 7, and Damon Allen, who's a famous CFL quarterback, he was doing the reading thing like in school or whatever, and he was wearing an Athletes in Action t-shirt. And Dad made a comment, he's like, oh, he must be a Christian. And we were like, why? Like, it's just this news thing about him reading a book to some kids. And Dad's like, oh, that's Athletes in Action's a Christian organization. And that was the only time I'd ever heard about this organization until this girl moved into my dorm. And she told me about how they do sports and missions together. And I was like, that is like my dream, to combine sport, the basketball, what I loved so much, and missions, my heart for Jesus and the world together. And so that kind of, I got involved a little bit with Athletes in Action then. And it was just kind of through my involvement that I saw that God could actually use me, a girl from a small town in northern Alberta, to actually reach people for Christ and to walk alongside them and journey with them as they go to like all these high-level platform people were just normal humans. Like, they were just like me, you know? We had the same struggles, we had the same identity issues, we had, like, it was just, might have looked a little different, or maybe our growing up was different, but we could journey together, and I could just continue to point them to Jesus. And so that's kind of how it started. And I interned with Athletes in Action a few summers, and one summer specifically, I told a friend, I was like, I can't imagine doing anything else with my life. Like, this is amazing. How cool is this, what we get to do right now? And so that's how it started. And then I joined staff right out of university.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have heard parts of that story before. I remember the Damon Allen on the T-shirt and wearing the T-shirt.
Such a random moment.
The that's cool.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Any questions for Roxanne? I'm going to keep doing this and keep having these awkward silences.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you normally do international missions like that, or have you been serving more nationally? I know you're in Great Britain.
Yeah.
So is it more Canadian, or do you focus more on the international?
Great question. So right now my role is primarily in Canada, and it has been, I think, throughout my whole time. So I spent about 14 years in Edmonton at the University of Alberta, connected with athletes there and connecting generally here in Canada with university athletes. But I always had a global role. So we would go about once a year or once every 2 years, I would take a team overseas and just kind of foster some relationships and partnerships that we've had globally. So I would say and right now my role is, I have a dual role. One is staff training and staff development. And so that's primarily with our Canadian staff. We have about 80 to 100 Canadian staff across Canada. So I'm in charge of the training and development for them. But a lot of what we're developing, and Elodie is helping me develop a lot of this, is our hope is that it can be used globally as well. So some of what I'll be doing now in Mauritius is saying, okay, what of our staff training in Canada is actually applicable here? And how can we maybe tweak things a little bit or change it so that it's helpful for our global staff? Some of the training that our staff have been developing here in Canada is, it doesn't exist elsewhere around the world that we've seen. And so it's exciting for us to kind of step into these spaces of how can we train our staff globally. And then my other role is I sit on our national leadership team here in Canada. So there's a team of four of us that lead our ministry here in Canada. So as part of that, we do oversee our global partnerships, but primarily my role is here in Canada with our staff. Yeah. Good question. Yes.
Do other people on like your team and stuff do videos like that and tell other stories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. There's a few more videos that we have. So if any of you are interested on Instagram, our Athletes in Action Canada Instagram page does a lot of just stories and testimonies sometimes. They're a little bit shorter, but Elodie's was up there. That's actually what we were streaming it from, is from our Instagram page. So there are a few testimonies there. There's a few that I can send you guys as well, because there are a few more testimonies that we have. We have a lot more written ones right now, so a lot more that are kind of like reading a little blog article that I can send you guys as well. But yeah, there's a few other testimonies that we have done up for sure. Yeah, I can make those accessible for you guys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so if you are, like, for those of you that are in the social media world, not everyone is, but it's Athletes in Action Canada is our Instagram, AIA Canada. You can just search it and it'll come up. But let me know too, I can point you in the right direction if you want as well. Hmm.
Is there any Christian organization that's working with, let's say, the NHL athletes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so NHL is a combination of Hockey Ministries International as well as Athletes in Action here in Canada. So Athletes in Action, we have a chaplain in Calgary that's working directly with the Flames, in Winnipeg with the Jets, and then Vancouver with the Canucks. And then the other teams, there's different levels of acceptance of partnership at the NHL level. But we usually go, when we go in, we usually go under the banner of HMI, the Hockey Ministries International, so we work closely together in that. In the U.S., I think there's one or two other organizations, Pro Athletes Outreach, PAO, is one as well that works NFL and NHL. I think maybe Major League Baseball as well. But here in Canada, it's primarily Hockey Ministries International and AI together. Yeah.
It just seemed that in the NFL, you can tell there's a lot of Christians in there.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. One of my just interest levels is on sport culture, and I'm so fascinated how there's different cultures and different sports. And NHL being a very Canadian sport is very reserved, so they don't express emotions quite the same way that a lot of NFL or NBA athletes would. A lot more reserved, but also it's the post-Christian culture in Canada has influenced the NHL greatly. Whereas the Deep South and the Christianity culture has influenced the NFL and I would say NBA quite significantly, as well as Major League Baseball. And so you'll see a lot more outward acts of prayer, pointing to God, praying together at the end of the game. And the CFL, I think NFL does that as well. They won't show that on national television. Chaplaincy is very common in the NBA, in the NFL, and Major League Baseball. It's just accepted part of what you have on the team. You always have a team chaplain. The NHL is not there, but it's coming. And I think the fact that in Canada we have at least four or five out of our six NHL teams, at least four or five have consistent chaplains on their teams, that's a really big deal from where it was a few years ago. And one of the things that Hockey Ministries International, one of the things I love about what HMI does is grassroots chaplaincy. And so what they do, and I'm not sure even here in Whitecourt who would be chaplain or if there's a chaplain with the Wolves, but a lot of that level, AJHL, kind of grassroots level teams across the prairies and across Canada now have volunteer chaplains in their community. So I don't know if you remember with the Humboldt, when the accident happened a few years ago, and their chaplain was all of a sudden kind of rose to national spotlight attention because of his work with the team and then doing the memorial. And so that's actually quite common now amongst junior level hockey. And what that's done is broad acceptance in the past 10, 15 years to higher level hockey, because these guys are like, oh, okay, I remember that from when I played junior hockey or when I played in my local community, we had a chaplain on our team. So when you get to the university, so we experienced at the U of A probably 7 or 8 years ago now, where players all of a sudden came in and they're like, oh yeah, we're familiar with chaplain. So we use that term now at U of A with the hockey team, because they're familiar with it. They're like, oh yeah, we had a chaplain on my junior team, now I'm familiar with it. And so what's happened now? So I think it's amazing that HMI's done this and just really allowed volunteer chaplains to kind of engage their communities. And so we're seeing that more and more acceptance at the higher levels because of that. And we do actually too, so NBA, the Toronto Raptors, one of our staff, actually we have two staff that are kind of tag teaming that role, but we do have our AI staff or chaplains of the Toronto Raptors as well in Canada. So. Ooh, good question. Most famous athlete I've met through the ministry. So the one that comes to mind first is probably not someone you guys might be familiar with him, but only because of folklore, because he's definitely in my generation. But a Toronto Blue Jay, one of the most famous Toronto Blue Jays, his name is Joe Carter, and he hit the World Series winning home run. Was it in 92 or 93?
93, I think.
93.
The second one,
The second one. And I just remember that moment so clearly. I loved Joe Carter. And a few years ago, I was in Toronto. They were hosting the NBA All-Star Game. I think it was 2017 or 2018. I can't remember what year. It must have been 2016. And we were hosting an NBA breakfast. Had a really cool experience with NBA players kind of coming and going. Steph Curry was in the room. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him, but he was kind of across the way. But then later that day, I read it. Someone's like, there's Joe Carter. And he was running a booth kind of in this area that we had set some stuff up. And so I went over to meet him and chat with him for a little bit. And it was one of my actually most fun experiences was meeting Joe Carter. He was just lovely, a great gentleman. And it was a lot of fun to just connect with him a little bit. He was doing some kind of, I can't remember the booth he had, some kind of like pitching thing or batting or something. So we went and played a little bit together. That was really fun. So I think he's probably the most famous one I met through my role with Athletes in Action. Unfortunately, I would have liked to say Steph Curry, because that would have been, that probably would have trumped Joe Carter.
He might have trumped, yeah.
He was just across the room. So I saw him there, but didn't go meet him. Okay, so I'm going to give a little update. Rachel, last time I was here, you asked about my master's. And I had said, hopefully coming, but hadn't started it yet. That's run through my mind a few times. I'm like, when I go back to Whitecourt, what am I going to tell them?
Yeah.
And I started my master's in May. So I'm on a two-year program where I'm studying. It's a Master's of Arts in Leadership, Theology, and Society through Regent College in Vancouver. And it's a two-year integrative program where it's designed to be integrative into my work. And I've loved it so far. It's just the mental challenge. I don't love coming home at the end of the day exhausted, and you know, then you have a paper due, homework you need to do. But it's been a really, really good, thing, and I'm really enjoying it. So thanks for that accountability of that question last time. So all your questions you ask, I remember them.
So next time she's here, make sure you check up on her. Yeah,
find out which athlete
yeah, how's it going?
You know, I'll meet someone else.
And you said you started that master's program in spring?
In May. Okay. So I'll be finished in spring of 2024.
Cool.
Is your favorite sport basketball?
Great question. Do you know what? It's changed. So my growing up years, yes. I feel like it's the sport of my youth. I love playing, and it just delights me right now. My oldest nephew is 13, and we've started playing one-on-one, and he hasn't beat me yet because I'm determined he will beat me soon. He's taller than me already. Like, but I'm determined. I still have one move left, so I'm holding on to as long as I can. But I actually have started playing, like, the last 12 years, I've started playing touch football and flag football. So that's actually trumped it now, where I just love, it's a newfound sport for me to play. So basketball will always still be my sport, but I'm quite rusty, and so don't play as much anymore, except for now with my nephews. But yeah, so now flag and touch football is my favorite to play. That's a really great question. So I don't know if everyone heard that, but she's just asking about if there's pushback from other religions about Christian chaplains coming in. So there's two contexts I'll share about chaplaincy. Well, actually probably three technically. One is international games. So when I talked about the World University Games, which is basically like the Olympics for university athletes, or the Olympics, they actually, part of the, I don't know, governing body says that they have to have a religious center in the athlete's village. And so when we go in as chaplains, we are one of the different religions that are offered. So I've been serving as chaplains at a few different international games, and you're in a hallway, and there's the Christian Protestant group, there's the Catholic group, there's the Muslim group, there's the Jewish community. So what kind of whoever would approach the organizing committee and say, hey, we will coordinate this for you, that's who's there. Hmm. And or if an athlete is asking specifically for someone, they would be there. Pretty much every time we've been there, the Protestant Christian room is packed and really busy, and we're actually, they often ask us to try to be quiet because there's just not much going on down the hallway. So it's really cool to see. I think that's probably the most engaged religion, if you can say it that way, in an athlete's village from my experience. The Olympics might not be that way as much. In the professional space, our chaplains have actually never had the strong pushback from other religions. Our chaplains definitely approach it like, hey, we are, they know who we are and our stand as Christians, they know that. But we haven't yet, but they're really conscious of serving the rest of the community, even though it's very clear we're coming from a Christian perspective. Our Bible studies are very focused on God and the Bible. Pre-game chapels are a snippet from God's word, so it is very clear on who we are. And they haven't yet had pushback. The university campus is the third kind of space, I would say, with chaplaincy. We don't always call it chaplaincy on university campus. And it continually blows my mind the access that we have across Canada. And we haven't had pushback from most places. There's one university in Ontario that won't allow us any involvement, more out of fear, I think, of that happening than anything else. So, but we still have just direct relationships with coaches and with athletes. We just can't do anything kind of overtly AIA, if that makes sense, on their campus. So we just meet with athletes just off campus or coaches and connect with them that way. So yeah, I'm continually amazed. I feel like I'm not sure why God continues to give us favor, other than I'm not sure that other religions are thinking through faith and sport and the kind of the relationship or connection and what that looks like. But I could be wrong. It's just kind of what we're experiencing here in Canada.
I'll ask one here. I just wanted to, this is maybe more, a little more of kind of your personal journey, but can you share with us a little bit about, like how things have gone with you, with Athletes in Action, as you've kind of worked your way in the ministry, like what you were doing when you started as opposed to now, and how that has grown and changed, and I don't know, that was kind of.
Yeah, good question. So this is aging me, but next year I will have been on staff for 20 years. I've been working with Athletes in Action for almost 20 years. And When I first joined Staff with Athletes in Action, I thought, this is amazing, I love it, I'll do it for 3 years, and then I'll figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life. And then 3 years came and went, and I was like, man, I feel like I'm just learning. Like, I feel like I just am starting to understand what this looks like to connect with athletes and engage. And so I was like, I'll give it a few more years. And then after 5 years, I was like, this is amazing, it's so much fun, like, I'm not leaving yet. And so that was a really cool, those were kind of cool markers for me. I never, ever would have thought that I would be here this long. And so, people ask, they're like, so are you a lifer? Are you going to be there forever? And I was like, I have no idea. I don't know where God's going to lead. I'm here for now, and then we'll see what happens. There's been a few times where I've almost left staff. I've almost stepped out of the ministry. But what I think what's kept me going is God's work in my own life. And there's been several markers where I look back and they were turning, they were kind of a why in the road space. And I'm sure that each of you have experienced those like why in the road times in your life where it's something is really hard or there's just something going on in you or around you that makes you want to go the other direction. And each one of those times where I've had that in my own walk with God and in the ministry, the Lord's brought someone to walk with me in that. And actually, for several of them, there was one mentor that lives in Sherwood Park. Her name's Donna. She's a dear friend of mine. But each time, someone would bring someone around me who would point me to Jesus and who would just continue to put me, just like, I know it's hard. Life with Jesus is not always easy. Let's go a little bit deeper. And so then as I would go deeper with Jesus, he's like, I'm not done with you here yet. Keep going. Let's keep going. And so for me, that's been kind of at different markers along the way. I think as my role has changed, so having worked with university athletes for 12 years as my basically full-time job, and now I work primarily with our staff, I really miss university athletes. I really miss kind of that engagement with athletes who are wrestling with who God is, what is my life like, the identity things, the Elodies when she was at the Olympics or even in university. I miss that, and so I'm actually going to start doing a little bit of that as well as a side part of my job. Because I just miss that personal engagement. But I'm just so thankful that Jesus does not let me go. Not only with AIA right now, I think there probably will come a time where I'll probably do something different. I don't know, we'll see. But also just in my walk with him. And I know that sometimes I think growing up, although my bubble was burst young because we were in the Philippines with missionaries, but sometimes we see missionaries or pastors or those people as like, okay, they've got it together spiritually. They're like, they're set. They must have that like direct line to God. We don't always. We don't always have all the answers. There are those hard times where you really question, what am I doing? Who am I? Who is God? What does this look like? And how do we relate more deeply? But I'm just so thankful that Jesus has just continued to walk with me closely and bring different people along my path to walk with me in those times.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and we kind of touched on this in our emails, but can you share like what God has been teaching you like just recently? And
that's a great question. So I'm going to answer it completely differently than I thought I was going to answer. Something in mind. I'm going to share something completely differently. So one of the things I love to do in the West Coast is hike. I just love exploring the mountains in my evenings and weekends, especially during COVID. That was a huge outlet for me. So I'd go exploring into different mountains. I've had some very cool literal mountaintop experiences where you could just see mountains for miles. But a few years ago, there was one hike that stood out specifically to me. And it was actually this, my cousin and I went, we hopped in a canoe and you paddle up about 3 kilometers up a little river. It's tidal, so you want to make sure it's hot, the tide's high enough that you're not rubbing the bottom. And you get to this beach, you park your canoe, and then you hike 3 more kilometers into this place called Widgeon Falls. And Widgeon Falls, yeah, it's just kind of these hidden falls that it's quite the trek to get to. But when you get there, they're just beautiful. They're not like the dramatic, like 90 foot or whatever 100 foot and falls, like waters gushing from the top. They're just these like kind of levels of waterfalls with beautiful crystal clear water. And there was one part, there's these rocks on the one section of it, and the rocks were like little water slides, but like not just little water slides. They were like enough that you could actually, I didn't actually sit on it because it was a little too dangerous, that area, but I'm like, you could sit on it, like space for your butt to go down or whatever. And I took a picture of it because I saw these waterfalls in it, and it was just like carved so perfectly, 3 areas. And I sat there and I stared at that rock and marveled, because I'm like, how did that water over all these years carve such clear water, like waterfall areas through this rock? You could tell it was not natural. You could tell it was carved and smoothed out by the water. And I took a picture of it, and that was almost 3 years ago now, or 2.5 years ago now. And I praise God for it, because the Lord's been using that picture in my life. A year and a half ago, someone asked, they're like, what do you see about God and his creation? So when you're out in creation, what do you learn about who God is? Because he has his character all in creation, in us as humans, and also just in his handiwork. And so this was something I noticed, was that water over time carves these rocks. And so one of the things the Lord's been showing me is in John 7, he talks about his Holy Spirit is like rivers of living water will flow from within you. So Jesus is predicting the coming Holy Spirit. When he leaves, he said in John 17, he said, it'll be better for you that I leave. John 15, 14, 16. So anyway, in there. I told Dad, bring your Bible later. You might want to fact check me. You can fact check that. I feel like it's in there. Well, I know it's in there for sure. It's in Jesus' teaching. He just says to his disciples, it's actually better for you that I leave, because my Holy Spirit's coming. So he promises his Holy Spirit, and part of the promise of the Holy Spirit is earlier in John chapter 7, when he said, rivers of living water will flow from within you. And I just think about Jesus' formation over us over time, and how sometimes I want a quick fix. I want like the microwave solution, where I want like, okay, this, I'll just sit down with the Lord, and that one time is going to, either he's going to tell me this great word, or I'm going to have a great revelation from him, and then I'll go out and do that. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it does, which is pretty sweet. But the day-to-day life that we live, the Holy Spirit's actually carving through water. He's carving in rock, and he's shaping us. And so I was challenged a few years ago just to take up some different spiritual disciplines as habits in my life. And I always wish that they would act a little bit quicker than they do. Sometimes they're just hard work. But I'm learning that the Lord just carves over time. The Lord brings healing over time through rivers of living water will flow from within us. Rivers of living water will actually shape the rocks, make my heart as a heart of stone. He makes it a heart of flesh. So Jeremiah talks about that in the prophecies. But the Lord's shaping my heart. He's shaping it through my willingness and confession and repentance, my willingness to humble myself before him, my willingness to live in authentic community. It's hard to live in authentic community. the honesty you have to have with people, the times I have to apologize or ask for forgiveness, the letting down of my guard, choosing to live in authentic community, that's actually shaping me. The hard things God walks me through, shaping community. Moving to BC in the transition, it's shaping me. And as I continue just to say yes to the Lord, he's shaping me. So that's the visual that I just have had so often lately, is just rivers of living water flowing over my heart and shaping my heart.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. That's such a cool, I love that picture. And I think our society kind of conditions us to want things instantly, right?
Totally.
And yeah. Oh, thank you.
Just to add on that, I did a talk at our Power to Change staff conference a couple years ago, and the talk was entitled "Hard is Not Always Bad," and I didn't realize how much that talk was for me at the time. My mentor Donna had asked me to speak on it, and that's the other thing that I'm like, okay, water flowing over me over time. It's like hard is not always bad, because God's working in the hard as well.
Yeah. Any other questions?
What kind of a connection have you made with the local church up there?
Great question. Yeah. So just ask, what is the connection I made with the local church down there? I praise God for my local church in Langley. I go to a church called North Langley Community Church, and it's a 3-minute drive from my house, a 20-minute walk, and I'm so thankful for it. When I moved to BC, that was one of the things that was daunting for me, because in the Lower Mainland, there's so many really great churches within a not too far of a drive. And so as I prayed about it when I was moving, I said, Lord, I just want to go locally to wherever. So I wasn't sure exactly where I would live. And so when I prayed about it, I was like, I'm going to go. There was a few neighborhoods we were looking at, my roommate and I, and I picked a church in each community, knowing a little bit about the area. And this was one, I had never been to this church before, but it was the one in this neighborhood. So when we found this place, I just started going. And within 3 weeks, I met a mentor who works for, used to work for Power to Change, now works for another organization. And he was like, oh, Roxanne, have you found a church? And I was, so I told him about this. He's like, that's the church we go to. And he spoke so highly of the health of the leadership team, the pastor in terms of his preaching and teaching and the community. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna stick it out here. And yeah, I just feel like I'm in a small group there. I have a group of three, there's three of us, so two other women and I, at our church we call them apprenticeship groups, which is kind of designed to be a little bit more intimate than your small group. And we meet once every 3 or 4 weeks to just share very deeply with each other and pray together. And it is such a gift. I've been praying for that for years. Uh-huh. So I'm very thankful for my church. I actually, just to add to that, I actually feel more connected to this church than I felt probably in years, probably since I was here in White Court. In Edmonton, it was hard for me to find a church that I could serve in my areas of giftings and stuff and really connect well. So yeah, it's definitely a huge blessing.
You talked about serving with university students at that local university.
Yeah, so I'm looking right now at UBC. There's a opportunity, I think, right now. We're hoping to meet actually this coming Thursday, so you can pray with me on that, that that'll actually come together. The women's hockey team at UBC, the head coach is a believer, and he's opening the door to us to come in to do some chaplaincy. So it's an hour drive. I was just telling Christina this. It's an hour drive from where I am, so it's a bit of a commitment. So, but I'm praying about it right now. I feel like I just keep thinking, how else will these girls hear about Jesus? Who else is going to tell them about Jesus if we don't go? Like, it just keeps coming up over and over. Like, how else will these girls know? How else will these athletes on campus, who else is going to be there and let them know? And because of our platform with AI, right now we're trying to set up a team meeting, but this is what we do on campuses across Canada. We just set up, like, for 5 or 7 minutes after the end of practice, we'll go in and introduce ourselves, say who we are, what we do, get comment cards. Like, it's a very old school pencil and a comment card. And we say, are you interested in connecting further? And then they leave their information, and then we get to follow up with them after that. And so what we're hoping to do is start a chapel program with these women's hockey players. It's very countercultural. Men's hockey, chaplaincy is becoming more common. Women's hockey, it's not a thing. I don't even know if they know what the word chaplain is. Like, it's just not a thing. So we're hoping to change culture and do that. So that's we're hoping for this Thursday. The coach and I, we just have had a hard time connecting the past 4 weeks to try to find a time that works. The school we've been connecting with more is Trinity Western University. So I won't be doing chaplaincy there at this point, I don't think, but we've been training the chaplains. Trinity Western is a Christian university, but I would probably say the majority of their athletes are not Christians. Actually, they come because of the strong athletic program and the small university. And so each of the teams on campus has a chaplain working with them. And so that's the other team. That one's 5 minutes from my house. It's quite close. So some really cool opportunities locally.
Any other questions? Don't want to leave anyone left out or anything? Well, do you want to spend some time praying for you, for sure? And I mean, we try to remember to pray for our missionaries, but when you're here, it's just good to have that time. But so you mentioned, like, your the prospect with the university hockey team. That's certainly a prayer request. Anything else, or anything that we can be praying for, or something that is especially exciting in your ministry right now?
Yeah, I think the hockey chaplain, see, that would be a huge one to pray for that. Pray for us as we go to Mauritius and Madagascar. I'm not sure yet what to expect. It's Africa, so you just don't know until you get there. Like, things can change all the time. You can have plans set up, which is, I actually don't mind that, but I do want to make sure that our time is strategic there and that the Lord brings us into contact with the right people. So prayer for that would be huge. We also, in Athletes in Action in general, there's a few key leadership roles that we need staff. We need some leaders. And so we're trusting God for that. There's just a few gaps, specifically in our community ministry that connects with kids and churches and and tries to kind of equip churches to reach into their communities. We need a few, just some coordinators, some regional coordinators. So we're praying into that as well.
Yeah, thank you. Why don't I mean, if someone is so bold and courageous as to, I mean, I'll just open it up for a few minutes, and if you want to offer up a prayer, just you can just pray from where you are, and just, yeah, as loud as you can. But yeah, pray for Roxanne. I'll just give some time for that, and then I'll just close. I'm going to pray for you, and yeah, so. Father, we're just so thankful for Roxanne and the journey that you have her on and that she's been on for all this time, and just how exciting that is. And it's so great to hear some things that she's been able to be involved with, even right from the beginning of her ministry and up until now. Thank you, God, that all through the changes and the challenges of ministry and the growth, Lord, you have been with her at every step of the way, every stage of the way, and you've brought people into her life and into her ministry to speak truth to her, to just point her to Christ. We're so thankful for that, and thankful that you do that in all of our lives, and just, yeah, how we can see that in the example that Roxanne is setting. So thank you for that, and we pray for her, Father. We just want to surround her in prayer and ask that you would continue the work you've begun. Thank you for the opportunity she has to go to Madagascar and Mauritius, with the Indian Ocean Games and just touring with the team. Lord, I pray for success and favor in all the things that they're doing as they're setting up chaplains and looking at developing a relationship there, and above everything, just sharing Christ with these athletes. Thank you for the fruit that they saw from the last trip, and just how awesome that is to hear about all these athletes giving their lives to you. So, Lord, would you bless her and the team as they go here in a month or so, and just give them safety in their travels and give them great connections. I pray for your very best in that, Father, and that your word would go out loud and clear. And we know when your word goes out, it doesn't return empty. So thank you, God, for this opportunity. And we pray for the people there, the people in Madagascar and Mauritius and surrounding areas too. Father, let your word go clearly to them and impact their lives, that they would know you, they would receive you as their Savior, and they would have that hope in them. God, we're thankful for Roxanne and just the way that she has grown in her ministry from the beginnings to now. We're thankful for the role that she has, and she's able to work with other leaders and just develop those leaders and help encourage them as others have encouraged her over the years. So thank you for that. Thank you for the church she's been able to plug into in Langley. Thank you for opportunities to minister, and we pray especially for this opportunity with the UBC hockey team, this ladies hockey team, as she has this opportunity. And I pray that would come about, and you would just, I don't know if rekindled is the right word, but just bring her to that place where her passion is to be there with the athletes and share your love with these athletes. I pray for open doors there, Lord, and that as she and the coach are able to connect and get together and talk about how this might look, God, we know that you're going ahead of that, and I pray that you would continue to do that, and just give the two of them, both Roxanne and this coach, a sense of your presence and direction in their conversations and in their meeting and ultimately in this ministry. So thank you so much for the opportunity, and I pray that this would be a really good thing, that it would, even if it's a little bit of a change maybe to Roxanne's schedule and her routine with the drive and everything, but that it would even enhance her work as she works with leaders and does different things with Athletes in Action. So yeah, we just are excited about this opportunity and pray for this. Yeah, please be with the organization, with Athletes in Action, with Power to Change. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. Our desire, and as I know Roxanne's is that athletes, men and women, professional and amateur, just all would be directed to you, Lord, that they would hear your word, they would hear your gospel and respond and receive you. So thank you, Father. Just continue to go before her in the work that she's doing. Grant her favor with the people she meets with and be glorified in this ministry. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I just say as well, I'm so thankful for you guys, for your partnership with us. And I often say that's my home church up in White Court. That's my sending church up in White Court. And so what we're doing is what we're doing together. Mm. It's not just me doing it. I really feel like you guys are a huge part of that. So I just want to thank you on behalf of people like Elodie, whose lives are being changed. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you too. And yeah, as even with that, like we love to be able to be involved and as it's possible. So yeah, if there's any ideas or anything that in which we can kind of partner even a little bit more, we're always open to hearing about that and exploring that. Yeah. Thanks, and please take the opportunity to chat with Roxanne during the meal and after the service. I know she loves to talk about her ministry and has just such a heart and passion for that. So yeah.
And I do really love potlucks.
Who doesn't, right? I mean, yeah. All right. Thanks.